Open up your Bibles and let's go to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. We want to go to the book of beginnings here. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to go down to verse 26. Genesis 1:26, and it says this, "And God said," notice that God said this, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." How many knows that just covered everything that's on this earth? Right? And what did God say about that? Let's make man, and let's give him dominion over everything. Isn't that what he just said? All right, I just want to make sure we're on the same page here. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, I wanted to bring that out because I want to talk to you today about operating from a position of power. You see, the church acts like it's powerless. Most Christians act much weaker than what the world does. And the truth is, it's greater he that's in us than he that's in the world. See, so I want to take you all the way back here to Genesis and show you that man was created to have dominion upon the earth, to have authority upon the earth. God actually made man to take care of the earth and everything on the earth. Now, man lost that authority when he disobeyed God in the garden. But the thing about that is, it was restored through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and so I'm going to show you some things here in the Word of God so that you'll see that once again, you and I should be operating from a position of authority and not as underdogs. Come on, not as the victim, but the victor. And see, we have to see this. We have to get this inside us. If you do not get a reality of this, you can't operate in it. Amen. You have to know I can do this. The number one reason people fail at doing something is because they don't think they can. If you think you can, you've won half the battle. But when you see it from the Word of God and you know you can, then you cannot fail. Now let me just show you. I said that it was restored back through the Lord Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, 17 through 21, I'll just read this to you. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." Now, I could just stop right there. Notice what he said. He said, because man disobeyed, then death reigned. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ and him making us his righteousness, now we get to reign in life through him. See, I'm just trying to show you that you have a right to reign. You have a right to operate from a position of authority. Now we go on verse 18. It says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." See, we have the Old Testament. We have God saying we're making man to have authority over everything. And then as you read on, you find out they disobeyed God. They lost that. And now we have Paul telling us here in the book of Romans again how that got restored through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was done through His death, burial, and resurrection. He became sin for us. He took on our sin upon Himself, died on the cross, took that sin to hell with Him, paid the price for us, and set you and I free. And when He came back, He says, now when you accept Me as your Savior, I'm going to send My Spirit to live on the inside of you, and you're going to have power and reign. Amen. So that's what He's doing. Let me show you, though. He started, look here in chapter 10 over here, because you need to see this. When Jesus was upon the earth, He was with His disciples. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, He had sent them out. He told them to go into the cities and heal the sick and work the works of God. Now here in verse 17, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. And He said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What did Jesus just say? Jesus said, I'm giving you power over the enemy and everything else once again. But that's not something for you to boast or brag about. What you have to understand is you rejoice because you're a child of the kingdom. And He says, all this other stuff, this authority that I've given you, I want you to walk in it. But it's not, see, notice it's not because of us, but it's because of Him in us. See, because notice here what He says, and I'll show this to you. And it helps you to, you know, to be able, when you, it's more than just reading, but studying. When you look at this, where He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Okay, when you look at that, what that means, that word power there, is in the Greek, that word is the word exousia. Now, the word exousia means authority. So, actually, what the Lord Jesus is saying here, He says this, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, that power of the enemy, the word power there in this very same verse is a different Greek word, dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite from. It means power that's dynamic and it's working. So if we read it the way it would say in the Greek, we would say, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis or the dynamic power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, the Lord is trying to get it to us and through us that He's given us authority, and our authority is over and greater than any power the enemy has or any enemy has. You understand that? There is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. That's what the Word of God declares. And so we have to get that in us, though. We have to understand that, you know. And I know that there's folks that say, well, yeah, you know, but that was the early disciples. That was when Jesus, you know, that was before Jesus was even crucified. Listen, He said over in Acts 1:8 that you'll receive power, that's a dunamis there, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, so not only were the early disciples receiving power, but He says, now you will too. Anybody in here received the Holy Ghost? Well, if you're born again, your hand better be in the air, because that's you. When you got born again, the Holy Ghost came to live on the inside of you. Amen. So the Holy Ghost is living in you, so you have power living on the inside of you. So if you have the Holy Ghost, you have power. Now, here's the thing. Our power comes from the authority of heaven. You understand that, right? The reason we have power is because of our authority, which is God. Okay? It's not our power, but power that God has given us. Let me help you. There's a natural power and there's a spiritual power. Okay? Now, we just elected a new president. Who gave him power to be in office? The people. The people empowered him to be in office. Now, that put him in the highest office in the land. And now all these other departments that fall under there are all under the authority of the President of the United States. Okay? So that's why a state policeman can step out here in the middle of the road with traffic running everywhere and flag you down, and you have to stop. Because it's the law. He represents the law, and you have to obey the law. Now, the man himself, he couldn't stop a car. You could just run right over him. But if you do, you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble because you just broke the law. You just went against the authority or the power that's backing him up, and you'll suffer the consequences for that. So what I'm trying to say is power is only as good as the authority that's behind it. So you have some folks that try to self-appoint themselves like they've got power or whatever. But, you know, it's only as good as the authority that's behind it. And so our power, our authority comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from God. So we are backed by heaven itself. Amen. See, that's something you got to get a hold of that. And see, the world can't understand this. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of born-again believers don't understand this. Because they've only been taught, you know, you get saved so you can go to heaven. But you didn't get saved just so you could go to heaven. Now, thank God you got saved so you could go to heaven. But once you got saved, you were brought over into the kingdom of God. And now you are representatives in this kingdom. You're not just spectators. You're supposed to be participators in this kingdom, you see. And so when we start looking at that, we understand every one of us has to do something. You know, we see the natural authority. We see the spiritual authority. You know, let me just take you another step here. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Look here at verse 4, because I want to show it to you in the Word of God. So you can't. Nobody can leave here and say, well, that's what Mike said or that's what Pastor said. No, this is what the Word says. Okay. Look here what the Word says in Chapter 1, verse 4, Revelation. It's John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be to you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priest unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, do you understand and see here that it says that through the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I have been made kings and priests unto God? Does your Bible say that? You see, when you start seeing that, see, I'm already messing with some folks' mind because you can't see yourself there. Well, you know, on the earth, as a human being, you're really nothing without God. You're just an existence. You're still somebody that God made. But God's plan is for you to be over in his kingdom, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so you can be part of the kingdom of God, so you can truly be a child of God. Okay, I'll show that to you in just a minute. But here, it started out, notice that it started from Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, right? How many knows that usually in kingdoms now, authority passes down to the children, right? Now, I want you to get this. Well, we know that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, right? Well, now that we're born again, we're children of God also. And so, see, it started with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was actually the prince of the kings of the earth. Think about that one for a minute. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? But he says that now it's passed down to you and I. He's made you and I kings and priests. Do you see that? See, it's coming down. God's keeping it in the family. Your sons and daughters are we've been endued with power from on high. We have royal authority to operate upon this earth. And you have to see this. If you don't see it, then you're going to act like the world acts. And the world is so helpless. The world is so clueless. But you and I, we know we have the Word of God here. So it started with Jesus. Now let me prove to you that you're a son and daughter of God, so that, and you'll know scripturally. You don't just have to say it, but here's what the scripture says. Romans 8:14-17 says this: For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See that? Anybody in here led by the Spirit of God? Well, yeah, I think every one of you here this morning were led by the Spirit of God to be here. You probably wouldn't be here. Right? But let me go on. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now listen, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified also together. Now look at that. He says, not only are you children of God, but it made you an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So once again, the kingdom authority went from the Lord Jesus Christ, and now it's to you. And you got to get a hold of that. It's hard for us sometimes to get that in our mind, but we have to get it in our mind. The very same power that was in Jesus is now in you. Amen. That's what the Word of God says, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So there it says, see, I'm proving everything that I'm telling you by the Word of God. Now, there's folks, there's naysayers, there's preachers would say, oh, that ain't none, that, no, that's not right, you know. We're just you know, wayfaring pilgrims down here, just barely, we're biding our time, and, you know, it'll be worth it after all. One of these days, maybe, hopefully we'll make it to heaven. Now, that's not the God I know. The God I know says I can know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm not ready to go there yet, because He gave me a job to do here, and that's to take authority, to be an ambassador for Christ upon this earth, and use the God-given authority that He gave me to tear down the kingdoms of the devil. Amen. Jesus said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Okay? So if He was to destroy the works of the devil, guess what? That's what you're supposed to be doing. Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. And He says, what? The works that I do, greater works shall you do. I'm going to read that one to you in just a minute. But I want you to see that, you know. And so let's look at a thing or two here. Let's look at what can happen when we recognize the authority that's been given to us. We can see it in the Word of God. Go with me to Acts chapter 3, would you? Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And let's just begin reading verse 1 here. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood, and walked, and entering with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. See, you got to understand something. Peter was a person just like you and I. You got to see that messes with folks too. Yes, he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, but so are we. Now, I understand that he was one of the apostles, and those apostles were the original apostles, and they had all seen Jesus. But you've got to understand, Peter was only operating the way Jesus operated, and that was as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. That's what he was operating at. Notice what he told the man. He says, I don't have any silver and gold, but such as I have. See, Peter recognized that he had the miracle working, healing power of God living on the inside of him in the form of the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to notice here, too, that Peter made sure that he invoked the name of Jesus in this thing to just let the devil know that he had authority to be able to heal that man. He said it in the name of Jesus Christ, did he not? See, Jesus has given us his name and told us to use his name as a backing of the authority as we speak. We use the name of Jesus. That's why you pray in the name of Jesus, right? Come on now. So we see here that because Peter did and knew what was in him, he was able to get this man that had been crippled. You know, who was it the other day was talking about? Pastor Huffman was talking about it the other night. You know, Jesus had probably walked by this guy many times. But you see, here's the thing. Jesus was operating as a man by the Spirit of God and through the Spirit of God. Okay? See, some of you are going to look at me funny right here. Jesus could only do what the Father told him to do when the Father told him to do it. And I believe that the Holy Spirit or the Father never did tell Jesus to heal this man because God knew what he was going to do later. Jesus didn't just go around and heal everybody. Now, when people came to him, they got healed. Come on, what did he do with the blind men that came to him? What would you have me to do for you? Well, duh. Right? What was he wanting? He wanted to hear it out of their mouth that we might receive our healing. And that's when he said, according to your faith, right? If you find that, if you look in the Word of God, you'll find different ones where he asked them, what is it you want? Now, he's the healer standing in front of them. But he's only the healer when the Holy Ghost is moving to heal, because he's a man operating by the Spirit. You understand what I'm trying to say? You see, you can't just... The Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit operate as God wills, when God wills, with who God wills. And Jesus had to operate under that format in order for him to win back our freedom. And so you and I operate under that same format. The Holy Spirit working through us. You can't work a miracle, but the Holy Spirit in you can. You can't heal anybody, but the Holy Spirit in you can. Come on now. You know, that's what I'm trying to get across to you is everything is done through and by the authority of God, through the holy power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I, in order for us to operate in it, then we have to know, listen, I have authority and power. I have the name of Jesus I can use because I am a king and a priest unto God, and I am a child of God. And so, therefore, I can operate that way because God says I can. Not because I say I can, but because God says I can. And see, one of the biggest reasons we're not seeing more happen is because we really don't believe we can. Amen. You see, a lot of folks say, well, you know, if you believe in that healing stuff, why don't you just go into the hospital and empty the hospitals out? I just explained it to you. You can't do it unless the Holy Ghost says do it. Yeah, but you know they need healing. Yep, Jesus knew this man sitting at the gate needed healing too. But he walked right on by. And that was Jesus. Come on now. See, you've got to rightly divide the word of truth. You can't be just here and there with it. You got it's all line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible will interpret itself by itself. Just keep reading, see what the Word says, and let it be established in two or three witnesses there. And so that power is in us now. Peter knew that power was in him, and he invoked the name of Jesus, and the cripple was healed. Now jump right over here with me to Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 12. It says, And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest of this, no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Notice that. Now, we're talking about the disciples here. We're talking about ordinary, regular people, but they've been anointed by the Holy Ghost living on the inside of them. So you've got to get a hold of it. We're just all ordinary, regular people until we get the Holy Ghost in us, and then we become extraordinary. The Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. Now we're sons and daughters of God. Now we are equipped to carry the authority that God says we can have. It's been God's plan all along for us to be able to operate upon this earth. Now, notice that they always gave credit to God. Always gave credit. There's one thing about when you start operating in your authority, you got to make sure that you're giving God the glory for it and it's not you. Amen. God uses you to work a miracle. God uses you for a healing. God uses you to change a situation. You better give Him glory for it because it weren't you. It was Him working through you. Amen. See, that's an important thing. It's always, just remember this, that Brother Emmett Spencer, a prophet, many of you remember him, they used to come here and God used him mightily, you know, and I'd go back, he'd leave and I'd shut the service down. I'd go back over to the office sometimes and he'd be crying over there. And the reason he was crying is he'd been talking to God and saying, God, if I said or did anything that wasn't you, please forgive me. Why? Because he wanted God to get the glory out of everything that was done. He didn't want to mess up. But number two, he wanted to make sure that God knew, you get the glory, God. You did this. I sure couldn't do it. And he would absolutely make sure that God was put first and God got the glory for it. Now, when we start looking then at authority and stuff, do you know that even the enemy recognizes authority? Amen. The enemy recognizes authority. Right? Come on. In the natural, but also in the spiritual. Now think about that for a minute. In the natural and in the spirit, the enemy recognizes authority. Jump over here with me real quick to Acts chapter 19. Familiar story, but I want to bring it out to you just to show you something here. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now listen to this. It says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now Paul was, you know, we believe the 12th apostle. We know he was an apostle. He wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. But before Paul was Paul, Paul was Saul, a man that persecuted Christians. But here Paul is, and God's working special miracles. I mean, I believe when it talks about special miracles, I believe we were seeing limbs grow back. I believe people were being made totally whole from leprosy to where if it had eaten parts of their body or whatever, I believe they was being restored to totally whole because it said he wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You see, again, that's not Paul. That's the power of God working through him. Amen. That's why we send out prayer cloths. People come and say, we need a prayer cloth. We want you to pray over a prayer cloth. The reason we send those out is right there through that scripture, right there. Why? Because there's an anointing in God. There was anointing on Paul that when they got those handkerchiefs and aprons, they went out. People were healed and even demons went out. Well, you see, there's an anointing in this house. There's an incorporating anointing. There's an anointing up on me. There's an anointing up on you that when we pray over those cloths and send them out, it works. Because it's not us anyway, but it's the Holy Spirit and the power of God that's operating through that. It's definitely not the cloth. Come on now. It's the power of God in operation. Okay? So they took out the handkerchief nation. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Seven guys to one. Think about that for a minute. Now, here's what I want to show you, though. Notice something. Paul, they're just taking handkerchiefs from Paul. Because Paul's walking in his authority in God. He's anointed. These guys see it happening from Paul. And they just decide, well, every time he uses the name of Jesus, the demon's got to come out. Let's start using that name. And let's go cast us out some devils. So they found them a guy possessed with the devil. And they go in and they're going to do the same thing Paul did. And they did what Paul did. They commanded it to come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And the devil said, I know Jesus. See, he knew Jesus because he was there when Jesus kicked in the doors of hell and said, I'm here to set the captives free. I'm here to set my people. The devil knew who Jesus was. He knew who Paul was. See, because when Paul was early in his ministry and still called Saul, he was at a particular place there, and there was one of the important people there, a chief there. And he was preaching the gospel to that chief, but the Bible says there was a sorcerer there. And that sorcerer started interfering, trying to stop Paul from preaching to this chief. And the Bible says that Paul looked at him, called him a devil. I'm paraphrasing a little bit just so we don't go and read. But he called him a devil and said, you're not going to see for a season. And immediately the man was struck blind. Now this is earlier in Paul's ministry here when he does this. But Paul knew he had authority to operate. The man was struck blind, and the Bible says that when the chief saw what had happened, the power that was there, that he believed, he got saved. You see, so now, the devil knew who Paul was because he had done had a run-in with him. He had already been put in his place once by Paul. So he says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? You don't have any authority because I don't know who you are, and I don't see any authority in your life. You see, church, we got to make sure that as children of God, we're doing exactly what they've been talking about, being prayed up, studied up, ready, make sure that anointing is strong in our life. So when we have to face the devil, we're ready to deal with that devil. And that devil knows who you are. I've heard people say, shh, you better be quiet. Don't let the devil hear you. I want the devil to know my name. I want to be able, when I stand in front of him, and I tell him to go. I want him to know who I am. Not because of who I am. But I want him to see Jesus in me. The power of God in me. Amen. I'm going to tell you, some of you remember we've cast out the devil here before. I don't know how many of you remembers that. A few of you? Okay. It's not something you take lightly. You make sure you're prayed up. You make sure that you know what the Word says about that. Know that you have authority to do that. Amen. That's the only way you will get people set free. But you see, you don't do these things operating from a position of not knowing whether you can do it or not. You have to know that you have a power and authority upon this earth. Now, I've shown you that Jesus gave it to man right at the beginning. I've shown you where Jesus gave it back to us through his death, burial, and resurrection, and the resurrection. And I've shown you that through and by the Holy Ghost now, you have been endued with power to operate upon this earth. God wants you and I not operating once again. He says that you're more than conquerors. You can't be an underachiever and be more than a conqueror, right? You have to stay on your game. You have to realize who you are. Using authority caused that chief to get saved. Now, you and I, we don't have to take just whatever comes. You don't have to just take, well, I don't guess there's a thing in the world I can do about it. But no, see, we got to use our God-given authority to change situations, to change things. Amen. You have to use it. Now, in John 14, 12 through 18, listen to what Jesus says. I told you I'd get there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Anybody believe on the Lord Jesus in here? Okay, I want to just make sure. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, I mean, that, he could have just stopped right there. Because that just went, right? The works that I do, he'll do also. If you believe on him, the works that he did, you'll do also. What did he do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes, open deaf ears. I mean, think about what he did. He said, if you believe on him, the works that you did, that he did, you'll do too. But look, he didn't stop there. He said, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Pretty plain that God wants you and I operating in our authority. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not a victim. You're the victor. So you've got to understand that. You're the one with the authority. Come on, do you understand that? The devil has no authority over you. The only authority he has is what you allow him to have. Come on, and the Bible calls him a thief. You know, that's just like somebody trying to come into your house, and it's your house. That thief has no right in your house. He has no authority in your house. You're the authority of your house. That's why if they try to get in, they're probably going to go out backwards. Right? One way or the other. Come on. Right? Why? Because I've got authority to do that. I've got authority to take care of my house. Guess what? You've got authority to take care of this house. This house is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What the Word of God says. And so we have authority. We have authority to take care of our realm. We have authority in the kingdom of God because God took us out of the kingdom of darkness, placed us into the kingdom of His dear Son, and said, now, here you go. I want you to have dominion. I want you to take authority. I want you to rule and reign as kings and priests. And that's what the church has got to start doing if we're going. We've watched and seen what happened when the church would actually come together and pray for a thing. We've watched when the church would get together and move together like they should. Remember when the Holy Ghost came, they were in the upper room all praying in one accord, right? That's when the Holy Ghost came. That's when the power came. You see, that's what the church has got to, we've got to get back to operating in what God said we can operate in and know that it's our right to be able to do that. When we do that, we're going to start watching things change. Some of you need to be taking some authority in your families. You need to be standing up and getting the devil out of your house. Come on now. Some of you need to get the devil out of your life. Amen. Some of you have some things that you just got to say no to from now on. And just allow the Holy Spirit to help you. See, you can do all things through Christ, which is the anointing, which strengthens you. But it's going to be up to you to make up your mind, I have a right to, I'm going to take my authority, and I'm going to walk in it. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, Lord, that you have given man authority upon this earth. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that when we'll walk in that authority, Father God, you said, Lord, if we believe you, nothing would be impossible. So help us, Father God, to get past those areas of unbelief, get past that the areas of doubt and wondering, can it be real? Because, Father, your word says it. And if your word says it, it's already been settled in heaven. So help us now, Father God, to get it settled in our heart. so that we can be all we can be for you. And you'll get glory out of us, and your kingdom will be advanced through us. Thank you for that. Father, I pray, Lord God, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, maybe they're here and they've not yet made you Lord and Savior of their life. I pray that this morning, Father God, that you'll speak to them, and today's the day they'll say yes to you, and you'll get the glory for that also. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're here and you need Jesus in your life, or you need to rededicate, or you just need...